He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Can you turn them around?
What do you call it?
Mama boxes.
Mama boxes. They have an actual term.
Yeah.
Kia ora and welcome to Voices.
It reminds me of Toy Story. I don't know why.
It reminds you of Toy Story.
In 1944, Karangahape Road in Auckland became home to a unique hospital that opened after the war, a doll's hospital. It was set up by a local couple, the Lawsons, who did most of the restorations. Many years later, after the original owners took ill, the business passed through a few hands and it eventually merged with Rightway Studios about 2.5 decades ago.
See these shelves around us, the top two shelves are waiting. There's probably a couple of months' work there, if not more. So much work coming through here and going out at the same time.
In 2020, yes, people are still getting dolls fixed, lockdown or not.
I didn't realise myself how important Auckland Dolls Hospital was to the people in Auckland.
That's Ross Stewart. He manages the large studio these days in Auckland's Glen Innes. I'm Kadhimri Gladding and today I'm here talking to some of the art restorers.
In Kay Road, everybody knows the Auckland Dolls Hospital. We ended up inheriting the Auckland Dolls Hospital off a outworker and gave it some proper attention, and it's really taken off.
From China to Chile, this team is a real mix of nationalities who restore some of Auckland's oldest antiques, toys and dolls. And they've been working right through the lockdown.
Rightway Studios really specialises in ceramics and antiques and the restoration of art. The dolls and the teddy bears have always been part of that package. We're doing prams, clothes and shoes and socks and wigs and eyes, everything.
Sentimental and fragile pieces that come through the door here to be salvaged demand fidgety and detailed handwork. It's a skill that's actually quite hard to find these days in a throwaway culture. Pretty different from the era a lot of these toys were made in.
The other day we had a 70-year-old man about to celebrate his birthday and he said, "My teddy bear, I've got to get it fixed up because I took it on the train back to boarding school after the holidays."
Did you find that at some point finding the right skills to keep this place running was really hard? Because it's very, very specialised work, isn't it?
Incredibly niche and very bespoke. And this is where we have this United Nations approach, where a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds from all around the world have somehow come here and operate quite successfully. If we were going to be reliant on one or two groups, it just wouldn't work. And that's the secret, I guess, allowing different people with a bit of space.
Oh, wow.
So they brought me a photo so I could get a reference because it's really hard to tell. All the faces are different, you know.
You're from Chile. How did you end up becoming a doll doctor here?
I live close to the studio, and I was always passing by. My boyfriend told me, "Oh, look, they have a doll hospital. You would like it," because I like artwork as well. I came one day asking because I saw online that they were needing people. Was for ceramic at the beginning, but then they realized the dollies were needing a lot of help. Somebody told me, "They're going to like you because you love artwork. I do, you know, knitting, crocheting, all of that." And now it's like, comes handy because I can do it all over every day, you know.
Carolina Arriaza studied how to make dental implants, dentures and the like. Quite a useful thing to know when you're working with ceramics or glass eyes or the faded rubber of vintage dolls. But being brought up in an art and craft-loving family in Chile helps too.
My grandmother back in Chile, she was tailor. So we had all the room full of fabrics, sewing machines and stuff like that. They do hand painting jobs, you know, and stuff like that.
Aunties, my mom even, were art, technically. And then the rest of the people were helping them hand painting pieces. So we grew up seeing all this. We all love it. I always loved it.
So what are you working on here, Carolina?
So as you can see, all the pieces, they were coming with all elastic pieces.
Mm.
So I have to put all together again.
More than art restoration, is like, you know, the sentiment of value that you're restoring. Because the person might see it, or like my friends, when sometimes I show photos, they tell me like, "Oh, that looks like a creepy doll," for example, like from a horror movie or something like that. But when they receive them back, people receive them back, they will see like, oh, this is like flashback. This was my doll when I was like 10, something like that. And that's what they value from it.
What's your favorite part about this job?
I can use my hands. What would I need a machine to do all of this if I can use my hands to do it? And technically restoring, I don't know, 50, 80-year-old pieces.
Yeah.
If you do it with a machine, you can break it down because they are antiques. Part of the material is already like rotten, so you can't apply too much pressure on them.
Must be dealing with some really old pieces here, huh?
You know, when plastic started, half pieces from the 50s. Some pieces are from the 50s. Some of those are coming with the dates, so you can tell. So you know the material they were using, how to get the color done. You know, you customize your colors, for example, to don't make it look like it's brand new. This is like the original color, and it looks like quite like wool.
Yeah.
And we had to build the whole face again with new fabric, so I had to like give it a little bit of a shave. It's like aging.
So it's quite a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you have to use your creativity. Some stuff are quite technical, like restringing, for example. It's basically inside the system they do, you know, opening and closing the eyes, and you have to restore that as well. And then all the creativity you use to repaint it. Practice makes perfect. Yeah, I mean, you have to practice a lot to get it right.
Practice, patience, and an eye for detail keeps a business like this running. In one corner of this sunlit studio are several precious paintings, family portraits dating back decades, and invaluable artworks, all lined up and waiting to be restored by a man who's in high demand around here.
Credit goes to Easy over here, to my colleague who's been here longer than me, but he is the man who everything goes through. He's the supervisor, finisher, you name it.
Why do they call you Easy?
Because they say I do everything easy.
his name's Easton.
Yeah.
But everything
my
is
Easton,
easy.
Yeah, the nickname is Easy. I came 1905. Yeah, I started work. I just arrived in New Zealand in about 10 days. Then I walk on the road, I see a railway studio. Then I lock the door. I said, I got a very good ask you. I can do your job. Can you give me a chance? Then I start the job and I do it until today.
So you just walked in, you knocked on the door and you said, hey, I've got skills, give me a job.
Yeah.
His background is an engineer building bridges, and he comes to New Zealand on his own, no family, and then decides to canvas the art world and came here by good chance and fortune. Been here ever since.
Ihson still struggles a bit with English, but his expression flows pretty freely when it comes to restoring artworks. No doubt it's a shared language around here.
So we are all coming from different places, and that gives it a taste. When you try to catch somebody's accent, it's the same with me because, you know, Latina, and they try to catch your accent. What is she trying? Does she mean that? Immigrant stuff.
Immigrant stuff.
Yeah.
It's a big, spacious, sunny, happy, like to think, place where you're allowed space to create productively. And this place is run along the lines of there's full backup and supervision. But we leave you alone to do your own thing. Everybody adds a bit of flavour. These are the Etrusian Roman. That's a lion's head and that's a tiger's head, about the size of my hand. As unique as anything, particularly in New Zealand. We don't see a lot of this in New Zealand. But as I say, in Italy, there's many pieces. We're not even sure we're going to even be repairing these at this stage because they're probably best left in the original state that they're in it today.
And who would normally end up doing this restoration?
Oh, we'll handpick somebody here. Probably Izzy will be supervising it.
10 years from now, do you think it'll still keep churning out the restorations that it does today?
Oh, I'm sure it will in one form or another. Everything here is pretty much sentimental. When people come and go in your life, values change. And one minute you don't want your parents' rubbish, and the next minute you give your left finger to have it back, and you're fighting over your siblings, and you know, it's all go again. And so you see it. You see it. You feel it. I don't know, I'm going to get that fixed. I don't care what it costs, I want that fixed.
And that's Voices for this week. I'm Kadambri Gladding from this very museum-like studio, where every corner you turn, you hear a new accent from one of the art restorers, busy working on antiques right through the Level 3 lockdown.
See, look at these parts, pieces missing. Very old.
If you liked this episode of Voices, it would be great if you subscribed to us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or other podcast platforms. And you can find Voices on the RNZ website as well. The audio engineer for this episode was Adrian Holley, and Tim Watkin is the executive producer for podcasts.